Welcome to Serenity, a service for your well-being. I'm Peggy Nichols, and along with my spirit guide, Anthony, we're going to be your host for the next hour. This evening, I have two guests, and I'm going to start out with a wonderful gentleman who I had the pleasure of meeting and seeing him perform at a blues festival here in Michigan. Absolutely rocked the town. This man, I'm so happy to be able to call him a dear friend, but what an amazing recording artist who is under the label of Cat Food Records. Wow, what a name. So without further ado, I'd love to welcome Mr. James Armstrong. Good evening, James. How are you?
Hello, Peggy. How are you? I'm doing well, very well.
Oh, I am so happy to have you this evening. I know you're a very busy man, but I know you're in town for a little while before your next gig, and so thank you for being on board this evening with me.
Well, it's a pleasure. I know Madonna, my girlfriend, did it a few weeks ago, and I can't just have her do everything. I kind of have to help out a little bit, too, you know.
Well,
yeah, it's just good to be able to talk to you and promote life. It's a wonderful thing.
Wonderful. Well, a little cliche here, letting the cat out of the bag. I have spoken with Madonna, and we're going to have her call in just a little while, because I know the two of you have put your heads together, and you have founded a new company called Memory Bank Video. So I do want to have both of you talk about that a little later on, but I really want to talk about Mr. Armstrong, the blues artist, the singer, the writer of songs. You're just an amazing man, James. And coming from California just, 6 years ago to small town Michigan?
Yeah, it was a shock for me, to be honest. I was born in Los Angeles, but I grew up in Santa Monica, and I basically never lived probably more than, I guess, a half a mile away from the ocean, way less than that, a quarter of a mile my whole life. And then I moved up to Santa Cruz and lived like two blocks away from the beach. But for years, my agents had been asking me to move to the Midwest somewhere or the East Coast, because my fan base was more in the Midwest and East Coast. And plus, there's more work. The states are smaller. You can travel quicker. The states get larger in the West. So anyway, it was a shock for me also to move from I call myself a beach blues boy. So I moved from the beach, and now I'm out here in the Midwest.
Oh my, it's almost feeling like a fish out of water, because living in California for so many years myself, it really takes some adapting, coming away from the mountains and the water and the warmer weather to, downright cold and ugly at times here in Michigan.
Well, I agree. I think I never knew I had it, because they call it weather disorder. I really start to get depressed in the wintertime. And what here, everyone goes, well, the seasons, don't you like the seasons? And I was trying to think, I don't really think I knew the order of the seasons until I was in my early 20s, being from California, because basically you have summer and a little more summer, and then maybe a spring. You really don't get any, change of seasons. So for me, it's beautiful in the fall, but my brain just goes, yeah, but it's going to be cold in a few months. So that's what happens to me.
Well, with that in mind, now, I know you do a lot of traveling, not only in the United States, but also abroad. Mm-hmm. Can you tell our audience to some of the places that you've been and performed?
Sure. Well, where are the last place? The last place was Beirut, Lebanon. I went there for I actually went there, I think, in April, maybe about 4 years ago or I can't remember the dates, but I was there for a couple weeks, and I guess I did well, and then they wanted me to come back on Christmas and another time, another show. I have a story. I didn't tell it for a long, long time because of political reasons, but I actually performed two nights in a row for Sheikh Hassan bin Laden. That was bin Laden's brother, one of his many brothers. And anyway, he owns a lot of businesses, and he owned all the Hard Rock cafes in the Middle East. There's nine of them. And I was really nervous, and it turned out okay, but he's the American good guy. He's the one that they actually flew out of the United States after 9/11. And he's really a good man. He has nothing to do with his brother or anything or did at all. He hated his brother, but that was one of my experiences. I don't know, Hong Kong, Germany, Italy. There's more. I can't think right now, but yeah, I've been quite a few places.
Oh my God. I mean, now what an audience. I mean, being in Lebanon, James, did you feel like you were under pressure?
I was really nervous because I hadn't, ever been to the Middle East, and I knew a little bit about Beirut, and they hadn't had any problems or suicide bombings or any violence for a while until 2 months before I was supposed to leave. Then they assassinated the prime minister. And so when I got there, it was just crazy. I was worried. I really didn't want to go. The Syrian army was there with machine guns walking around on the streets. And I'm just a, blues guy trying to make people happy and laugh and enjoy life, and which I think I was able to do. But it was a scary, scary time. But then I went back again, like I say, maybe 4 or 5 months later, and it was a little, Syrian army had left the occupation. They had left Beirut by then, and things were a little better. It was right on the Mediterranean Sea, and just beautiful. Had a great time. Seems like they really enjoyed the music, and I enjoyed them, and it was great.
Well, what an experience, James. I mean, that's probably when you need to put in your own memory bank video.
Yeah, I know. It was really interesting, It's just the traveling. That's, for me, ever since being a little boy, I was raised by my father from 6 months old. My mom left when I was 6 months old, and I got really lucky. I had a great dad that never left my side, and he's since then passed away, but we traveled a lot. He just moved around a lot, and so, I went to 8 elementary schools. I don't know if that's good or bad or what, but I've traveled a lot at a young age. But what that's always done for me is just people. I just really enjoy people. I enjoy meeting different people, talking to different people, and getting different attitudes and realizing that in some way or another we're all the same.
Now, your father, correct me if I'm wrong, now, he was also a blues singer or artist himself?
He was a guitar player also. He was a jazz guitar player, and him and my mother met. She was a singer. So they met and formed a band and moved from Philadelphia to Los Angeles. And I was born in Los Angeles. And I started playing drums for my father when I was like 5 years old. We did a duet, and it was just him and I. Now that I look back on it, I guess it was just a spoof, A lot of people just thought, wow, this little kid trying to play drums, and I call it trying because I never really liked drums. But I just, I asked my dad for a set one day, and he got it for me, and I tried, but I never felt it. And then I went to saxophone when I was about 7 or 8, and that didn't work, but I never wanted to play guitar because he played guitar. And for me, it was like I didn't want to do exactly what my dad did. I wanted to kind of do something else. I think when I was 10 or 11 or so, there was always guitars around, and I grabbed it, and I was just able to play it. And then I've never put it down since.
That's what you call it, just being a natural, James, and seeing you perform. Oh my goodness, you definitely, I think, were born with a mic in hand because you are so comfortable on standing there with a mic in front of you, singing to it, and you know how to work an audience.
Well, it's interesting. I've learned from a lot of people. There's a man that's passed away. I'm actually doing a new one of his songs, and I used to watch him, and Sam Taylor was his name, another guy named Doug McLeod, when I was really young. And these people could just, besides play great music, they had a connection with the audience. And I don't know, for me, I always have felt that's very important, to not just stand there and play your music, which is important also. But everybody's different. You know, there's some people who like to connect with the audience, and there's some that don't, and that are still great artists. I'm not saying I'm a great artist, but just being able to feel the audience, make them laugh, make them happy, express something. For me, it's basically, I always just tell them, I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth, because I never do. It's like every show is basically different. I just, you know, whatever I feel like saying or doing, I kind of do, and it's kind of working sometimes.
Oh, well, seeing you perform, James, you do it very well. Now, I know, because I have a couple of your CDs. Now, how many roughly have you released?
I've released four. And I have a new one coming out here in November. I think they're saying November 17th, but I wouldn't quote that. I'm not sure if it's the 17th. But as you said earlier, that's on Cat Food Records.
Wonderful. Now, let's take a moment here. Let's kind of do a little plug, honey, because I want those who are listening to know how and where they can go and to obtain your CDs, because they are great, people. You'll just listen to these over and over again, because I surely have. So, James, where can they go? Is there a website you can tell them, or just what would be their best avenue?
Well, the best avenue, I believe, would be to go to Cat Food Records. I believe that's catfoodrecords.com. Or you can go to my website, which is jarmblues.com. And we should have a link on there soon for Cat Food. It's not released yet. And they'll be on, imagine, CD Baby, Amazon. They'll be everywhere online that you should be able to get it.
Wonderful. Well, we'll definitely repeat that at the end of our interview. But because in knowing you and becoming friends, and along with your wonderful, wonderful mate, Madonna, we always enjoy talking about the New Age and spiritualism. And you are just an amazing man, and definitely your belief and faith and your journey of being spiritual. And I would love maybe if you could just talk about your journey of your awakening, your enlightenment, and how that's helped you in life, and maybe even how that's rolled over into your performing and your music.
Well, it's interesting. I don't talk about this much anymore. Yeah, actually, I just got off the phone with my publisher this morning, and they need a new bio, and, you know, we can keep some of the things. But what happened to me 11 years ago, I haven't spoke about it for a while, and I did many interviews about it a long time ago. I was, I think it was 1994. I was in Sunnyvale, California. It's next to San Jose, and it was 8 o'clock in the morning. I was playing with my 2-year-old son and my 9-month-old son, and we had a nanny, and she was on the couch, and the door just opened. This was an incredible safe town. Nobody ever had any violence. There was all families around there, and I was married at the time, and my the guy just walks in the house, and he just opens the door, and I go, "What the hell are you doing here? Get that hell out of my house, blah, blah, blah." And I stand up, and he puts his finger up to his mouth and goes, "Shh, quiet, quiet, you know, with his finger. And he walks into the kitchen, and I'm not a big guy. I don't fight. I'm not a fighter, and you know, I've only had one or two in my life. So I'm in the kitchen. I go, what are you doing? And he's looking in drawers and pulling drawers out. And so I walk back into the living room, dialing 911. I have the phone up to my head, and I turn around. Some presence I felt was there, and he was standing there with a knife cocked back, and he stabbed me right then. I didn't have any time to react. But then I guess I tried to fight. I tried to protect my life and my son's lives. And the nanny picked up the nine-month-old and ran into the bedroom with him, and I'm trying to fight this guy, but I'm getting cut and stabbed, and my two-year-old keeps grabbing my leg. Daddy, Daddy, he didn't know what's going on. Anyway, you know, no violence in our lives or my life ever. So I tried to get outside. We lived on the second story, and I was on the balcony, and I just figured if I got him out there, he, you know, wouldn't hurt any of my kids. So anyway, I turned around, and he had picked up my two-year-old and threw him over the balcony down to the ground below.
Oh, my God, James.
And I just went down the stairs and grabbed James, which is James Jr. I thought he was dead because he was knocked out, and started walking to the curb, and I passed out from blood, and I had him from loss of blood. I had him in my arms. And anyway, the guy came down. I thought he was going to finish us off, but he got arrested. He got caught, and hopefully he will be in jail many, many more years. But what happened was James was seriously, seriously injured. He fell on his head. He fell on the second story, 2 years old. What saved his life is that he was an infant, and, you know, his skull was still pretty soft and all that stuff. And he is okay today. He is 17 years old. He is doing okay and doesn't remember anything that happened. For me, I've played guitar, you know, basically all my life. I lost nerve damage in my left hand, my fretting, fingering hand for the guitar. And I wasn't able to move my arm for, I don't know, 8 months, and I wasn't able to move any of my fingers for a very long time after that. Anyway, things started to come back, and today I consider myself the best two-finger guitar player on the planet. I basically can only play with two fingers, and that was really hard at first because I was going, God, why did you do this to me? You know, what did I do? You know, I never blamed God or anything. I just didn't understand because music was all I ever wanted to help my kids. But anyway, that's the journey that I learned, Peggy, because since then I've learned that I had to change things. I had to change the way I looked at music. For years, I didn't want to hear music, especially any guitar, because I couldn't play. But I've always enjoyed blues and music that had soul and feeling. And I used to think I was pretty hot. I could play really fast and play anything I wanted to. Now, I think I sound like those older guys that I always wanted to. Now I am older, though. But what it did, it basically slowed me down musically. It slowed me down musically. So that's where the spiritual level has totally taken me, to the point that I look at life totally different and understand we're all here for a reason, and something's always going to happen, but it's always something good, some kind of good outcome comes out of it.
Oh, my God, James. I know just a little bit about that story through Madonna, but not in detail as I've learned tonight. And wow, it makes me really appreciate the man that you are, because how calm and collective you've been through the years that I've known you, and you don't display the poor me syndrome, and you know, where I see that with so many people, and you. Never have I heard you make excuses of your life and your journeys. You've just jump in there and deal with them. And wow, I commend you. I really, really do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I really commend, you know, there's a lot of spiritual things that I had to do. You know, I just, as I said, I looked at why, you know, and people, you know, there are certain people that just never gave up on me, even at times I thought I was trying to give up on myself, because I never thought my finger would move. So two of them still kind of don't, but the other two, you know, kind of work a little bit. So, but it's just basically, you know, having some type of faith, and just, which I always had, but after that, I kind of had more, you know, that everything's going to turn out. You got to keep pushing.
Well, you definitely display that each and every day, James, and I like that about you, is you're always consistent. There's people I've met, and they're on their journey of spiritualism and enlightenment, but it just seems like that novelty for them wears off, and then they just completely go off the path, and they just explode with anger, and it's like, wait a minute, you know, you're not disciplining yourself, and that's right. Part of our journey is being disciplined.
It's interesting you say that, because, you know, I really kind of, I call it big headism, and I was just got signed, and a new record label had hired me, and this was right before that happened, and I actually, that's why I call it God slowed me down, because my head was just like, you know, oh, I'm going to be a star, I'm going to do this, all this is going to happen, and I had a big head, and I kind of laugh, and I just say, well, God, you know, he kind of slowed me down. You know, I always kind of wonder, well, why'd you have to hurt my little boy? You know, it's just me. But I don't have that answer, and it doesn't mean that I need to. But, you know, I understand what you're saying. I think sometimes people don't just slow down and try to look at life a little differently.
Yes, well, I know you'll appreciate this blues artist I'm going to refer to, and it's B.B. King. I mean, he definitely plays it slower, and he has that earth tone and just mannerism that, oh, just absolutely rocks my world. I think he's one of the best out there. And
he definitely is. He is like the father of it all. You know, he's much older now, and we're all just rooting for him, because he's the one that's just helped the road for so many artists. He's been doing it, you know, I can't quote exactly how long, but it's got to be over 60 years.
Oh, well, he is just wonderful. And even seeing him on a commercial, you know, I'm just thinking, yes, he's still out there. Yes, keep it going, BB. Oh, so now I know you say you have, you're finishing up now a new CD, and that's going to be released here pretty soon?
Yes, it's interesting. I actually got the masters today, which means the final tracks of that they're going to send to the manufacturing company to make the CD. So I was real excited this morning. I've been listening to them all day, because, you know, music, it's done in a lot of different processes, and each process it sounds better, and hopefully the last one sounds the best. And it did. I was really waiting for this for the last, you know, few months of whenever the master is going to be done. So we're still looking at, they're saying November 17th, but that could change, but it will be in November on Cat Food Records.
Now, what's going to be the label or the title of the CD?
Oh, the title's going to be Blues at the Border. That's the title track. What that song is about is Madonna. And Madonna and I wrote that song because after 9/11, you know, it was really hard to travel. I've traveled the world a lot. And when we met, she's Canadian, and so we used to go back and forth across the border. But then after 9/11, everything changed. I mean, it was just really hard to get back and forth around any border around the world after that. So we were on the phone talking about it one day, and I can't remember how the title came up. I usually just write from titles of songs, just an idea, and that word came up, the phrase Blues at the Border. So we actually sat down and over the phone and started writing this song, and I think it might have taken 2 days, and we had it, and it was done. So that was it's our song, Bruises at the Border.
Oh, well, I you two collaborating together, and I know Madonna, she's a beautiful singer herself, and she has performed with you, I think, on some of your gigs.
Oh, many. She's all over this new CD. She's doing harmonies on quite a few of the tracks. There's a skit that we do on a song called High Maintenance Woman, where she's in the background acting like a high maintenance woman, which she is not. So, yeah, she's just really good. We just had a lot of fun doing this last project.
Oh, my goodness. Madonna, I know you're listening. So, girlfriend, give us a call in here so we can bring you on the air and have you talk along with James about the next subject I want to take time for you to both to get on board with is the Memory Bank video. And I have to tell you, James, I did pop in the CD and those 3.5 minutes were fabulous. It did give me some more information about what you're doing and what a great idea.
It's something I've thought about for years. And, you know, with the digital age, it's so easy now to preserve and record media, any types, audio or visual. So I just have a thing for elderly people. I always have, ever since I was small. I just like elderly. Oh, I mean, you know, people that have a story. I think we all have stories. So Madonna and I came up with this company of just basically videotaping people telling their stories, and in between that we can put in photos that they're talking about. If they're talking about, you know, Grandma Burns, we can take a photo of Grandpa, scan a photo of Grandma Burns and put that into the movie or the documentary or the DVD, whichever, and just record it and have their story and give it to them. And what's been found out, it's a brand new company, and what we're finding out is just people are really using it a lot for presents. They're trying to get things ready for Christmas, because that's the whole thing. There's a lot of people who have family that don't know anything about their other history. Like for me, when my father passed away, that was one side of there's some stories that I knew as a little boy that I didn't get to have him tell me again to, you know, to be able to pass down to my sons. Things like that. And there are things of, there's a lot of different ways. There's, you know, people that have secrets or something that maybe they don't want to tell anyone until after they're gone, you know, so you could put this on a DVD and we're real discreet and you can maybe put it in a safe deposit box or something and then have someone look at it later on. But memories, it's just having whatever memories that you need, memory bank video, and it just can kind of preserve your memories.
Absolutely. And thinking of that, Zeth has let me know that we have Madonna online with us. Hello, sweetie. How are you?
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, James.
Hi, Zeth. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just fascinated. I get to hear more and more about your life whenever I hear you do an interview.
Oh, gosh, you know everything about me. You know too much, see?
Madonna, now there may be some things you might want to videotape yourself here.
You know what? It's interesting.
Yeah, Madonna?
Yeah.
Hello? You should tell them a little bit about Memory Bank, too. You have some other tapes that can be done.
Yeah, well, it's fascinating to me because, now, Peggy, James has been talking about this for a while. Just, I think this is what comes out of, as he said, his own family history is less, he doesn't really know as much about his genealogy as I know about mine. And so what really got me excited was, we talked about this when I was on your show, about my family history. And the angle that really grabbed me was, what are our what kind of faith or spirituality did we grow up in, and all the way back through the different generations? And when I started asking those questions, then I realized that really what you do, Peggy, and what I do as a journalist is ask questions to get people to realize that their life is interesting. Everybody's story is fascinating, but you just need to be asked the right questions. And what I find the real gift of doing a DVD about a family history is the gift of realizing that you have a story. Everyone has a story. And the more questions you ask, the more you realize that you really have had, you know, like that great Jimmy Stewart movie, A Wonderful Life. But you just needed someone to ask you. I can't believe how many people starting to do work on this project, the Memory Bank video, how many people say, you know, wow, no one's ever asked me this before. Oh, wow, I've never really thought about this before. Oh, wow, that's all connected. No wonder I look at the world this way now that I think about it, because of the questions that come up. But people have to care enough to ask. And honestly, I think culturally right now that's what's happening in the world, is that as the demographic gets older, more and more people are realizing there's this whole bank of stories that aren't what's going to happen to them.
Exactly.
If you saw the demo, you know that we used that quote from Alex Haley, when someone dies, it's like a library's burned down. All we're trying to do is preserve the library.
Oh, it's wonderful, Madonna. And it's so true when I think about vaguely the stories I was able to hear about my father before his passing and my grandmother,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Who was a shaman. So how, you know, I wish I had more of that. So it's
right.
Hopefully my memory won't fade completely. So I think I'm going to have to hire you guys. So what a memory I do have, I'm going to put it out there. So
I remember. That is the thing, you know, it's unfortunately, the older we get, there are things that we do forget. And that's what we can do. We can do always add on, like if, you know, we get with you one day, we can do that and then say, a month later, we can add on to that DVD of something else that comes up. It doesn't have to be just a one-shot deal, because sometimes you can't remember everything, and if something pops up, you know, we can get it recorded.
Wonderful. Now, the name of the company is Memory Bank Video, and so the people who are listening,
brand new, and there will be something up on YouTube here soon with Memory Bank Video, so that will be the only way to get a hold of us within, say, the next month, and then we'll have the website up and things like that.
Okay, well, I will definitely do a few little plugs for the both of you here throughout the next month so we can get people on board with this, because it is a great idea for Christmas. It truly is.
Yeah.
Because what we kind of do with a quick Christmas presentation would be just like photos. So say you have 20 photos of grandma and grandpa, of old photos or any photos. So we just basically make a slideshow of that. That's our basic package. We can just make a slideshow of that, put in your favorite music underneath that, and then send that to you back with your photos.
Wonderful. And I noticed on the demo that you are very reasonable. I don't know if you want to just give a quote of what your starting price is for this service.
Yeah, we researched that, and we're extremely reasonable. And to be honest, I was talking to Madonna earlier today about
painfully that. Painfully reasonable.
It won't last this that long, because that's extremely, but we just want to be fair and get the business started. But it's at $45 for, say, anywhere, say, 10 to 20 photos. And then we'll do a basic slideshow with your favorite music in the back and send you a DVD, which you can watch on your television.
Oh, my God. Folks, get on board and get it done before the price goes up. And trust me, even if it does, it's worth it.
And you know what? I just want to add, too, and not to make anyone feel guilty or panicky, but get on board before the people that you really love, the elders in your family with the wisdom and the history, before they go, and I'm saying this from personal experience, James told me over and over, you've got to get your mom's stories. You've got to record those stories. My mom had an amazing life. She was a voice teacher. And, you know, I always meant to. Everyone always says, oh, I meant to do that. And it's a horrible feeling now because she passed away suddenly. And I never had the chance. And I am not going to do that. I've already done my dad and his brother. And I am not going to, you know, have that ever, that feeling ever happen again.
Good advice, honey, because unfortunately we, in that case, we can't turn back the hands of time. And so I, that's good advice for all those listening. And I
unless
know
they hire you, and then you can, they can talk to you, to them through you.
Thank you, dear.
We could do a memory bank video with you as the psychic. Talking to other people.
Oh, we will talk about that, girlfriend. Well, I know I have another gentleman in the waiting here to come on, but before I say goodbye to the two of you, I just want to remind the listeners, Madonna, you have a wonderful book coming out titled Habits, Orders, and Vows. And again, where is a website, honey, that people can contact you for your books?
They
and
should just
also
contact me at my website. And my email is Madonna, M-A-D-O-N-N-A, at MadonnaHamel, that's H-A-M-E-L, .com. And ask me about it, because it's not it's still in the process.
Wonderful. Well, we will direct people if they want to have inquiries come through my website. We'll make sure that I give those links to them so they can contact you. And also for
thanks.
James through the Cat Food Records. I love it.
Right. Well, I should give out my email too, I guess. I can go info at jarmblues.com. info@jarmblues.com.
Wonderful. Well, Madonna and James, I would love to keep you on here longer, but I have a wonderful gentleman from New York who's, we're going to talk about a book he just had published, but I would like to have the open door of invitation here so I can have you both back at a later date, and we'll continue these conversations.
Great. No
Peggy.
Problem.
Looking forward
Thank
to
you
it.
So much. Great show, Peggy. I love your show.
Oh, well, I just love you guys, and you just make my job easy. Oh, well, I will be talking to the two of you, and again, a big thank you. And with that, Mr. Zeth, if I can take a few moments for a break, and then we can get Mr. Middleton on the air with me. So thank you again, and Donna,
bye.
James, always a pleasure.
Bye-bye. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you.
Thank you.
There is joy in the morning light, and there's joy, 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 joy in your life. There is joy in the morning light, and there's joy, 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 joy in your life.
welcome back to Serenity. My next guest I had the pleasure of meeting in person. The gentleman is from New York, and he's had a wonderful book published by Two Moon Press called Gordon the Goldfish. And he was able to come in from New York to our small town here in Marshall, Michigan, and have a book signing at Serenity this last Saturday. So it's such a delight meeting the person who wrote the book. And without further ado, may I introduce you to William Middleton. Hello, William. How are you doing this evening?
Fine, Peggy. It's good to talk to you.
Nice talking with you. And again, thank you for waiting in the wings here. I sometimes get carried away when I'm talking to people. But I promise I'll devote straight to the hour to you here.
Well, fine.
In meeting you, it was so interesting that you semi-retired. Then you started driving, was it for a hospital, was it, or a medical service?
It's a medical service from Chicago, United Therology.
And so, and in your drivings, you said you would just kind of let your mind and imagination start running, and this is where you started creating the stories that you would tell to your grandchildren, but finally decided to put it on paper?
Well, that's about it. Yes, I've been driving part-time, but I travel from the eastern part of New York State across the state to various hospitals, and in doing so, more than likely, I'm driving at night, and your mind wanders. Everything is dark out there, a few tractor trailers, and so you start to visualize ideas and what I would do when I got to the hospitals. After delivering the equipment, I would sit and write it down, and my wife thought it was a great idea, and she encouraged me, along with my daughter-in-law, to have some of my ideas published.
Oh, and I'm so glad you did, because I'm holding Gordon the Goldfish, the book, right here. And you look at this goldfish with this big, beautiful smile and the big eyes. I don't know how you couldn't smile. Oh, and you found your way to Two Moon Press to have it published. The inspiration, I always like to ask people, you know, creating the story, but, you know, sometimes we use family members or a pet. What was your inspiration for Gordon here?
Well, honestly, it just came to me out of the blue, but I wanted something that would have a purpose, a meaning. And in this particular case, Gordon has quite an adventure for himself, but he learns a very valuable lesson. And in the book, I use my grandchildren as characters. In this particular book, I used Ainsley and Cooper, my two grandchildren who live here in Marshall.
Yes, I thought that was when I was reading the book. I thought, I think that's his grandchildren. But I like the story, because we're always sometimes wishing that we were in a different world or we were a different person. And you capture that with Gordon, his adventures outside his fishbowl. And it's really a delight, because sometimes what we wish for isn't really as good as we think it was going to be.
That's right. And that's a good part of the story that I would like to pass on to children. Children are our greatest treasure. And the way we bring them up and what we teach them is very important. And I think their greatest asset is their imagination, and when they can use that and apply that, I think it's great. And this was a little book that was meant for them to read and perhaps learn that very lesson from it.
Oh, and it's a very colorful book. I mean, the blues and the reds, and again, with the Gordon there looking right at you with these big eyes. I mean, he definitely gets your attention.
Well, I have to give credit where credit's due, and the illustrator who did this work for me is a wonderful gal, and she's done a wonderful job on illustrating Gordon.
Oh, she did. Just a delight. Now, and the book is out now, and it's available, at Barnes & Noble's?
It's available in Barnes & Noble's. It's available at Two Moon Press in Marshall, and it's also available on Amazon.
Okay, and I had a notation here, and on the Kindle, is that something they can download?
Yes, it is.
Wonderful. I'm just amazed now, though I prefer the books. I think having those in hand and having them autographed, and I thank you for autographing my copy.
My pleasure.
And but the Kindles are nice for people who maybe can't make it to the stores. But again, I think this is going to be such a nice book for young readers. And what would you think would be the age group on this, William, that we think would be most effective?
I think probably up to maybe 8 or 9.
Okay, so listeners, if you're looking for a great Christmas gift or a birthday gift, you got to go get this Adventure of Gordon the Goldfish. It's really a delight. But now that's only one of from some of the stories you were telling me that we can start looking forward to another book that you're writing called, Stanley and Henrietta, is it?
There's actually two of them, Peggy, that Two Moon Press is in the process of producing now. One is Stanley and Henrietta, yes, and the other one is called The Autumn Ball.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. And now, do you want to give a little bit of insight of what both of these books are going to be about?
Well, Stanley and Henrietta is primarily about a street light. I think everyone knows the street lights that we pass every day on the road, but we give them very little notice. This particular street light was on a very rural road in rural country, and it had stood there for many, many years in the rain and the snow and the sleet and the heat. And one day a builder came and built a home in the field or meadow in back of it. And when he completed the house, they put a post lamp at the end of the sidewalk. And it's a story about Stanley falling in love with the post lamp, whose name was Henrietta.
Oh, wonderful.
And, of course, it's needless to say that they brightened up everyone's life for years to come.
Oh, what a delightful story.
And the other one, Autumn Ball, is primarily about the maple trees this time of year in the fall foliage when they turn all the brilliant colors that they do, and they go off to a ball. And in amongst them in the forest was a little evergreen tree. And the little evergreen tree, of course, couldn't change color. It was always green, so it didn't feel fitting to go to the autumn ball. So when the maple trees went to the ball and had a thoroughly wonderful time and came back to the forest, they began to shed their leaves, and they were left standing totally naked and shivering in the cold autumn air. And then, lo and behold, a little girl, and this happens to be my other granddaughter in Chatham, New York, Hannah, and her daddy came into the forest and spotted the little evergreen tree, and they took it home in the warmth of their home and decorated it for Christmas, and the little tree was very happy to see how beautiful it was in with all the decorations and everything on it. So that's another little story that the kids seem to enjoy and like.
Oh, well, and I'm a big pushover too, William, when it comes to stories with happy endings. I love that. And a story that doesn't have a lot of drama. I remember being scarred, I think, watching Bambi, you know, The Lion King, you know, it's a nice story, but they always have to have, unfortunately, like a death, and it just, you know, to a young person, it's scarring, and, you know, don't necessarily need to give out my age, but 21 has hit me a couple times, and you know, and it's just, you know, and you remember that.
And well, so, we always want happy endings.
We want happy endings, and it's been so refreshing that many of the authors I've been interviewing and having book signing with through Two Moon Press have had these wonderful books, and especially the children's, that have good storylines and depth to them, and nothing horrific happening throughout the story. And as an adult, I applaud you. I think this is an avenue and a direction that I hope more authors will take. And so,
well, thank you very much. I am thoroughly enjoying myself with it. It's something different for me that I've never experienced, and I'm having a wonderful time with it.
Oh, well, and not only writing now, I believe you said that you go into some of the schools and you do reading and storytelling to children?
Actually, you're right. Tomorrow, Tuesday, I will be reading to the third grade classes at the Marshall Elementary School.
Oh, they're in for a treat. And it's so nice, Gordon. I mean, and when we meet people and, you know, we listen to voices and structure, and you're a big man, and I mean it in a very wonderful sense, and how gentle you are, and to have the heart and the compassion for children to write and to sit and take time to read, it's very commendable, and I wish more adults would take time and to share just that with young people, their time, the wisdom, the stories, using one's imagination. You know, the mind is a terrible thing to waste, and books is a great way of getting people alive and letting their mind dance with an excitement.
Absolutely. You can have two children who sit and read the same story and envision it differently through their imagination. I think the greatest thing a person can do is give a child a book and encourage him to read.
I agree. You know, this technology we have, you know, everything is computer, iPhones and downloads, but there's something about holding a book. And last year a wonderful find. I went through a couple old boxes at a house sale and found an autographed book by Ron Hubert, who founded the Church of Scientology. And I thought, what an amazing find, a hardcover book from a man who's deceased and is autographed. You know, you don't find that on a computer.
No, you don't. No, that's true. That's very true.
And hopefully in years to come and your grandchildren becoming parents themselves, they have these wonderful books that Grandpa created and signed and maybe their own personal little story in the front pages that are just for them. And so I hope you just keep creating and writing many, many books to come.
Well, I hope so too, Peggy. We've got a couple other that are on the table that I'm working on, and hopefully down the road we'll have a series, something in line with those who are listening who remember the Hardy Boys or the Nancy Drews. I was blessed with twins. Grandchildren, and those twins are the basis of a lot of wonderful adventures.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I don't think you're going to be lacking for material.
I don't think so.
Oh, well, again, listeners, please go do now Two Moon Press, again, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or Kindle. It's called Gordon the Goldfish by William Middleton. And keep an eye out for Stanley and Henrietta and the Autumn Ball. William, I hope next time you are in Marshall, you have one or two books. I love to have you step in at Serenity and have a book signing any time at your convenience.
Well, thank you, Peggy, and I certainly will stop in and see you when I'm back in Marshall.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate, again, you being on this evening. I hope to see you in the very near future. And again, I appreciate my book, and I will treasure this always.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Well, I know my time is coming to an end, and my technician's going to be proud of me of being on time this week. So before I sign off, I'd like to remind our listeners, please visit my two websites, one being SerenityPeggyNichols.com and the other DaVinciChannelledArt.com. So until next Monday, I would like to say have a wonderful week. And until then, good night.